This is North Shore Today. It's Monday. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. In today's program, we're going to have an interview that Tim Kearns did with Roger Rosinsky, an assistant football coach at Beverly High School under Bill Hamer, and then later the school's head football coach for a number of years. So that'll be coming up as part of our program today. Right now, Rick, we're just coming off the excitement of the weekend of the Pope in the United States. He flew out last night, and also as we look up into the sky, a plane goes by. It's the Pope, but it's the eclipse as well. So an exciting night last night, I know, for eclipse viewers. I was out there. It was really a spectacular thing last night when it really comes down to it, wasn't it?
Well, considering the timing and considering how often it happens and considering our weather here in New England, it was spectacular. We walked the boulevard last night as the moon was coming up in Gloucester, and there were many, well, in fact, as it was getting dark, there were a lot of people on the boulevard with these cameras and tripods and so on. So I imagine they stayed down there when the eclipse, you know, happened. I watched a little bit of it till about 10 o'clock. I actually sat out in the backyard and looked at it, and it was nice because there was no wind. Just a beautiful evening, and you know, it's not a bizarre event, but it just doesn't happen very often for us to watch. And obviously, as we've gone into the 21st century, you know, the night skies, it's more and more difficult to see the night sky now through the glare of the street lights and headlights and neon lights. So you know, for people to look up once in a while, it's pretty cool, and it's, I don't know, it kind of has a calming effect. I was thinking of some of the movies and stories I've read, excuse me, about people, you know, back in history who knew about the eclipse and knew when the eclipse would happen and used it as sort of a magical power type thing. So yeah, it was fun to watch last night.
You know, even with our technology, I understand that we have the science is superb now compared to what it was several hundred years ago. I'm still amazed that we know that it's happening. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just like, I was thinking about that last night. It's like, isn't that amazing that we know that's going to be happening on this 27th, whatever it is, of September at around 9:30 or 10 o'clock?
I agree with you. And the thing is as a teacher, I would tell my kids, I said, do you realize that, you know more than Isaac Newton, you know more than Albert Einstein. Doesn't mean you're smarter than them, but you know more because of this technology and so on. And I'll tell you what, I'm an amateur astronomer. You know, I have a science teaching certificate, taught math, and I know how the thing looks, and I've read about how it's supposed to work, but I still don't quite understand how the tides work. I don't quite get that. But then again, I don't, I don't quite get how electricity works either.
Well, in watching the weather this morning, it appears that the tides, and of course they're somewhat related to the moon, and it's a full moon last night, is that they're going to be high for the next couple of days here. So watch out for that. There's a little splashover effect happening. You and I were talking before starting that there's some bad weather in our forecast for starting as soon as tomorrow, I guess. So there's some rain coming, and much needed rain at that. But there's also some splashover and unusually high tides coming as well.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've seen these news readers on television and sometimes on the radio, and they talk about an astronomical high tide, and they're using the word astronomical, not knowing what it means. They're using it to mean, oh, wow, it's going to be really high, instead of the fact that the moon is, you know, in full phase and it's close to the Earth. So it's really funny to listen to the way they use it. But, you know, we live on the coast, and it's something you always have to keep your eye out, and it is spectacular. But, you know, Mother Atlantic can be pretty surly from time to time.
Now, I know I'm talking to the wrong guy when I talk about the color of the moon last night, Rick, but, you know, I've seen some pictures that people have posted, and they got the blood moon color and so on. I didn't really see that. Now, I didn't have the magnifying power that others probably have with that. I was just looking at it pretty much with the naked eye. In fact, that's what I was looking at it with, the naked eye, no enhancement whatsoever. So so I didn't really catch those colors. I imagine if you got the closer up and whatever, maybe you would see some of those colors a little bit more, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. It was just a bright full moon, and it was a crystal clear sky, and it was really, really cool.
And what's nice is, got some emails from some relatives around, and a lot of people had clear skies as well. And I know all across up in northern New England, clear skies. So it was was a very fortunate night, I think, for folks in this in New England, at least, to watch this eclipse. Well, that's our eclipse talk. Yep, there you go.
Yep.
We just talked about the oceans just a moment ago, and the astronomical high tides is a story out about these black sea bass, and they're moving north, and they impact the lobster population. So apparently they eat the lobsters, thus reducing the lobster population. And the story that's an AP story in the item today says the influx of sea bass among a number of species that are appearing in greater numbers off Maine and New Hampshire as ocean temperatures climb has been fishermen and lobstermen saying the best solution is to ease restrictions on catching the newcomers. The sea bass prey on lobsters as much more economically important commercial species and a key piece to New England's culture. So that's a story that's out there, and so I'm sure we're going to be hearing more about that. And one note here, black sea bass appear to have shifted north in a range, but there has not been a scientific study of the population since 2008. Whatever. So black sea bass, keep your eye out.
I want to see a fish attack a lobster. I didn't know that could happen. And, you know, lobsters are ground feeders. So, boy, I didn't know about that one. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out more about that. And folks can email us at our email, which is msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com.
I'm going to try to remember that address, too. I had a problem with it over the weekend.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I just want to remind everybody about the upcoming election in Gloucester. That's going to be a big one tomorrow, the preliminary election. Five people vying for the mayor's office, and it will be whittled down to two. And I guess there also is a pretty big contest in Ward 1. So that's drawing a lot of interest, and there is expected to be a really good turnout for a preliminary election, which doesn't happen all that often. I mean, a big turnout doesn't happen all that often.
And there are some primary elections in some of the other cities around the North Shore as well. Rick, the Pope, you know, I thought this was going to play a little politically, you know, a little pros and cons. And, you know, but I think this Pope really won over a lot of people with the message that he had for folks. And I was kind of down in my little home office area last night, chipping away at some work. And I had the TV news on for a while as he was leaving Philadelphia, heading out to his plane and then taking off and watching the news coverage. And, you know, I think in summary, I mean, his message of kind of minimalist kind of living, you know, had some appeal. And, you know, there are a lot of excesses in this country, and that it is a very blessed nation. And that for those of us that are blessed, you know, as a nation, there is much expected of us. And I thought that that kind of message was a message that I think people can kind of summarize his visit. On the other hand, I guess he also met with the victims of the clergy sex abuse, and you know, I guess there were some mixed results or mixed thoughts on that piece as well. That cloud apparently is going to continue to hang over the Catholic Church for some time. But this message and this Pope definitely got some very favorable reviews in his very short visit to the United States.
Well, I think two things. I think first of all, what little I know of the gospel is that he is living the gospel message in terms of serving others. You know, the first shall be last, the last shall be first type thing. And he's doing that. And he's very popular. He does speak to the masses. He speaks to the poor, and he speaks to Joe Citizen, apparently all over the world. And he has made an effort to clean up the Holy See in terms of its finances and things like that, which is, if you're a Catholic, man, that's a pretty good thing, because a lot of Catholics in at the local level are a little sick and tired of the church's excess, I should say. But then on the other hand, as you mentioned about the you know, the sex abuse thing here in New England, especially, many, many Catholics, including myself, are still very upset. You know, the way the cardinal law has sort of been promoted, you know, and that he is living a kind of a cushioning life. Not that I wish ill for anybody, but it's just there's been no substantive change in any policy coming out of the Vatican, which I find interesting. There's been no change whatsoever. It's just been talk, and people are listening to the message, but there have been no you know, no policy changes whatsoever. And the other thing, Bill, that sort of rankles me is the fact that There really isn't any plan, as far as I know, in terms of how to deal with this abuse thing. I mean, they talk about it, but Cardinal O'Malley was quoted by the Globe this year as saying, well, you know, it's been 20 years and nothing's really been done yet. You know, there aren't any policy changes yet that have been instituted. So, you know, it's that dual thing. But, you know, the other thing I want to mention, Bill, is you mentioned Pope Francis. Very, very exciting to watch how he was received in the country, and it was great to listen to him. But last night, I don't know if you watched 60 Minutes, but they had a segment with Vladimir Putin, and they had a segment with Donald Trump. I want to call him Bob. I don't know why. But I don't know if you watched that, but boy, you can see where Putin is charismatic. He's really an enigma, I think, if you're listening to this guy. And he had all the right answers coming from Russia to the talking to United States citizens. The guy is a consummate politician. And Trump, similarly, you know, he was talking to the people. It was kind of interesting to watch those two guys.
Yeah, the Donald. Yeah, no, I did not see it. You know what I did see, though? I watched the coverage last night of the Pope's departure, and Ray Flynn was one of the commentators. And I was kind of thinking back. You mentioned the primary elections that are happening Tuesday, and I was reminded to myself. I thought one of the most exciting mayoral races ever was the one that Ray Flynn was in, the primary race that he was in. And Mel King was in that race. I actually don't remember who the others are. I didn't go back and research it, but there was so much excitement and there was a lot of energy in the city of Boston at that time. I'm guessing, what was that, early 80s, Rick, something like that, I'm guessing, or
yeah,
very late 70s.
Was that after Kevin White? Was that?
Yeah,
that
it was after Kevin White, right, to replace, it would be after Kevin White. So I'm guessing it was very early 80s. And what, again, Mel King, I mean, you had some great candidates running at that time. And Ray Flynn, came in and definitely had a lot of energy when he stepped into the mayor's office in the city of Boston. And it just, you know, happened to think about that in the context of Election Day here on the North Shore for some cities tomorrow. So some cities don't have the primaries. Such, I think, Lynn, they don't have enough, they don't have the contested races to need the primary. So they'll just have the general election in November.
Yeah, it's rare that happens, I guess, around here. But, you know, it does remind us, and as educators, we have to pass it on to the kids that, you know, we're very lucky. We have an obligation. You know, everybody talks about the Bill of Rights, but man, you know, being able to vote, whether it seems like it's a foregone conclusion or not, not all the world has that. So we're lucky to have it.
All right, Tim. I'm thinking of Tim Kearns, and Tim is standing by. He had a conversation with Roger Rosinski this weekend over at the dedication for the weight room at Beverly High School, in honoring Bill Hamer, the football coach, former athletic director, and former player of at Beverly High School, a Beverly native, Bill Hamer. So that'll be coming up in just a moment, but. Rick, you and I both worked kind of with Bill Hamer. I did the radio games during all but one, I think, of Hamer's years as a coach. Maybe actually I did miss a couple of years, but certainly there for a bunch of Hamer's years as head coach. I know you were doing the games the first year that he came to Beverly as a head coach to take over the Panthers. And he was a great coach, and I'll use the word great at this time, I think. But as folks say, he was a better person, and I think Dan Bauer said it the other day as well. But that's just so obvious when you get to know Hamer. Great coach, but even a better person. And so a great honor for him, and we have a post up on the website thanks to Tim Kearns.
Yeah, you know, Bill, I think looking back, and it's with real, really fond memories, I look back at that first year when I didn't know what the hell I was doing, and then you came the second year. And or actually in that first year after football, and you know, knowing Coach Hamer and all the people we've met since then, it really makes me feel lucky, I guess, or at least fortunate to live in this area where there are so many good people who have done so many good things. And it did start in terms of radio with Coach Hamer, because you began those weekly interviews that hadn't been done before that. And Coach Hamer talked about the kids. He talked about his assistants. He talked about the culture in Beverly. And a big man, a big tough guy, but also, you know, a very big heart and very gentle demeanor in terms of not being on the football field. And he built a great program. He, you know, mentored many kids and many coaches as well. And it's great to see Coach for being honored. But he's one of many, Bill, that we've been lucky enough to work with over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's run that interview, and then we'll be back with more just ahead. Again, this is Tim Kearns with Roger Rozinski, again, who was an assistant under Hamer for all of his years, I believe. I'm pretty sure about that. And then also Roger was, as we mentioned, took over as head coach at Beverly. But here's the guy, Tim Kearns with Roger Rozinski.
For MSONewsSports.com, I'm Tim Kearns, and this is the Coach's File brought to you by Big Jim's Auto Body, 19 Creek Street in Beverly. Joining me in the Coach's File today is formerly football head coach Roger Rozinski, and we're here at the Bill Hamer dedication of the weight room in Bill's honor. Roger, quite a day.
Oh, wonderful day. Great day for Bill Hamer, and very deserving of it. This goes back a long time, because when he first got here and took over as head coach, there was one weight machine in the whole school. And right now, this weight room here is as good as any in the state.
You know, certainly, looking back, we've been trying to get a hold of you and do this talk forever. We used to see each other out on a social occasion. I always wanted to do this. Your time in Beverly, again, with Billy, in the years afterwards, what did that mean to you?
Well, I coached in Beverly for 28 years. I came in under Roy. And I coached 1 year with Nate and then Billy until he retired, and then I became the head coach. It's a great athletic community. You know, I grew up in a small town in New Hampshire, and I played athletics there. This is a whole different picture here, you know. And to a certain degree, even though it was wonderful up there, I would have loved to have played at a place like Beverly High School.
You know, certainly the tradition that Roy and Billy had set. Was there any kind of pressure when you first started coaching that you knew what they had achieved and the expectation passed on to you?
Well, you realize what the expectations are in Beverly when you coach football. And the thing is, all you can do is go out and do the best job you can. And the thing is, after being an assistant for 18 years, I had a clue. And plus, I'd been coaching with underneath some outstanding people. And whether it was by osmosis or whatever, you learn some lessons about football. And so I felt I was well-tuited and ready for the position.
You know, certainly for the kids, too, it's following in that tradition that you speak of, that you want to keep up with what kids before you have set for the city, set the tone.
Yeah, you know, no, absolutely. You know everything about the history of the school. Plus the fact is, when I took over, 80% of the staff remained with me. And, you know, that's a carryover. It's not new people coming in. There's no reteaching of coaches and stuff like that. You just pick things up and move on from there. And I think everybody knew we were going to run the football anyways.
Now, certainly, Red Hot, let everybody know that there's another space on that wall, and it's reserved for you. Did you know that, or was that sprung on you?
That was sprung on me. This is the first I've heard of it, and I think that's great. And but at the same time, you know, to go up on that wall, those people is really something, and it's something to look forward to, and it's something that, you know, you almost feel like you don't deserve it to a certain degree.
So what's been retirement like for you? You know, in the time that you've been retired for a few years now, and you look great.
Well, you know, I mean, I've constantly worked out my whole life. I've got some bad habits, but I've constantly worked out and stayed in shape. And, you know, I have a big house. I do a lot of work around the house and stuff like that. And plus, I'm active. I'm out and about, and I work out every day for at least 2 or 3 hours. And, you know, between that and, you know, watching high school games and whether it's baseball, football, whatever, my life is pretty busy.
So do you get to see a lot of Beverly football being in the area?
I don't miss many games. It all depends. I mean, there's certain places that I don't like trips to Winthrop. You know, that's never been one of my favorite drives.
Has anybody ever liked to drive to Winthrop?
But, and I hope people in Winthrop don't take that personally, but it's just not a good, fun place to drive to. But, you know, other than that, if gamers, the weather's good, I'm there. Yeah. And even if the weather's bad, I'm probably there.
Okay. Coach, we will catch up again at some later time. I know I will be back here again to talk to you when it's your turn to go up on that wall. Congratulations.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Okay. Great talking to you.
Same here. That's been Roger Rozinski, former head coach of the Beverly Panther football team for MSO News Sports Radio. I'm Tim.
All right, thank you, Tim Kearns, with Roger Rozinski. And as we look back at this past weekend of football, we saw Revere score a win on Friday night at Lynn Classical to remain undefeated. They're at 3-0. They have not played in their conference. They're 3-0, but I don't think they've played in their conference. But they will be playing in their conference on Friday night in our next live video streaming game from Revere High School. And Rick, they have the new stadium down in Revere, and it's the exact same place as the old one. Press box is the same spot, Everything's all new. You're going to love to see what they've done with that stadium down there. I've been down there several times this fall already, and it's just fantastic. Again, it's right on the same footprint as everything as it was before at Dela Russo Stadium. And but anyways, you'll love it. You'll see it, and it should be a great night.
Can't wait. And I know Coach Ciccatelli was very excited before the season started. He's going to be even more excited now. And there are some pictures you took. Just go to our sports categories, and you can find the pictures that you took just before the season began of Dela Russo.
Yeah, so that's we did a couple of posts on that piece. And so that's one of our games Friday night. Our other game, we'll find Beverly playing at Lynn English on Friday night. Some other games happening on the North Shore. Marblehead will be playing at Peabody. That should be a competitive game, a great game as well. Looking at some of the games from this past weekend, yesterday, Sunday, St. John's Prep romped over Everett. I was surprised by the margin of that score. And I also had I think the Prep has moved up to number two in the poll. And your buddy, EJ at Andover, who am I blanking out?
EJ Perry.
EJ Perry, head football coach at Andover. I'm sorry about that. But they had the big win over BC High, did Andover, and they are, I think, number eight in the Herald rankings. Seems like I wanted to mention one other thing. Yeah, the Marblehead win Friday was an overtime win over Danvers. So Danvers is very competitive this year as well. So they're up in that large. So we'll see what happens there. But right now, Beverly is really making a big statement. I think that's the story out of this past weekend is the continued statement that Beverly is making, especially in the light of their win, their league win at Peabody on Friday night. So they had a little shaky season last year. What they went one game under 500 for, which they haven't usually been under 500 last year, but they're turning that around obviously in 2015. All right, and let's see here. And Endicott College won in football over the weekend as well, and I think that was their first league game. So despite being now 1-3, I believe it is, they are 1-0 in conference play. So congratulations to the Gulls on that one. Anything else, Rick, to share with us?
No, got to get ready. Got to try to line up some people for North Shore Sports Night.
All right, gotcha. So that's tonight at 7. Don't forget Josh Arnold's show Friday mornings at 10 o'clock. And we've got the two football games on Friday night this week on msonewsports.com. And you can email us at our email address, msonewsports@gmail.com. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. And it's Monday, a big week ahead here on msonewsports.com.